presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Fell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which this week comes from the Medical School of the Middlesex Hospital.
Yes, they're the best.
Earlier today, as part of their training, some of the students gave our teams a brain scan, but abandoned the search up to 4 hours. Nevertheless, please welcome Tim Brooker and Willie Rush on my right. Barry Cryer and Denise Coffey on my left. And as usual, we go straight into the first game called Suitcases. I'm sure you'll all be delighted to know that the teams are going on holiday. For reasons that are too complicated to go into, they have to pack their suitcases entirely with objects beginning with a letter that I shall give them. The other team can challenge if they think that any of the objects will have difficulty fitting into a suitcase. The packing team will then provide suitable, far-fetched explanations as to how they intend to cram them in. What fun. Now then, Tim and Willie.
Hello.
Your letter is G. Will you pack your suitcase with objects beginning with G?
Gnu? Gandhi.
Challenge from Barry Cryer.
Is this a folding Gandhi?
No. It's an inflatable Gandhi.
Ah. Right, carry on, Tim.
Goiter. It's just a case of goiter for taking other things.
Garlands.
Guns.
Cannons from Barry.
How many?
14.
Fair enough.
Grandfathers.
Grandmothers.
Geriatrics. Oh, we got them already, haven't we?
Yeah, you got them. A successful challenge from Barry Cryer.
Willie stated my objection. They had them already.
That's right. Quite right. And you win that
repetition.
Round. It's your turn now.
If Willie stated it, shouldn't we win that?
Yes. Thank now, you. Barry... Barry and Denise, your letter is M.
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 Mouth organ.
Malpractice suit.
Marlin spike.
Manhole cover.
Millet.
You're Challenge. A woman.
Challenge from Willie Rushton.
You're a woman. What did you want a manhole cover for?
Too late.
I have my reason.
It's a long time to dawn on me.
Okay. I think we'll allow that.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it.
We go on to the next round, which is the point in the program where I flick through the yellow pages and ask our teams to stop me and choose a trade. And then at the end of the program, I'll be asking the teams for appropriate names for members of that trade. All right, I'm going to flick the thing down. Stop. We stop here at the letter H. And you can either have... I'll give you a selection. You can have hose manufacturers and accessories. Or you can have horse slaughterers.
Right.
Or you can have horticultural wholesalers.
Wholesalers.
Horticultural wholesalers.
Horticultural.
Yes, GG wasted.
Or horse slaughterers. No. So you... horticultural wholesalers it is. And we now enter a phase which is familiar to all BBC quiz programs, which is that the teams will busy themselves over the next 20 minutes thinking about their answers for that last game, while at the same time giving their whole attention to the intervening rounds. It's a marvellous feat. I don't know how they do it. We go on to a round now called Excuses. This is based on the game so popular with married couples, Where the Hell Have You Been? It's Gone Midnight. Someone I'm about to nominate will ask a searching question, and the next person will make an excuse, the next will follow that excuse, and so on until I press the buzzer or murder is committed. And we're going to start with Tim Brooke Taylor.
Why are you wearing that suspender belt?
To keep my socks up.
But it's round your forehead.
I thought I was taller.
But doesn't it stunt your growth?
Pardon?
Let's start with you, Barry, now.
What are you doing in this sex clinic?
I'm having a sponsored vasectomy.
But you had one last week.
That was a Chinese vasectomy. You have one, and 10 minutes later you want another one.
But you've got no trousers on.
They were removed by a specialist.
But you haven't got any other clothes on either.
Yes, this is a teaching hospital.
Yes, but for vets.
Well, would you doctor a cat in trousers?
Well, what's a cat doing in your trousers?
A magnificent tribute to Andrew Lloyd Webber.
What has Andrew Lloyd Webber got to do with a vasectomy?
Don't you know your old possum?
Not since I had my vasectomy.
Well done, Denise. Now, opera. It's time for a musical round, and I want you to sing a snatch themes of Grand Opera from a selected passage.
Is that a medical term?
Oh, how splendid.
Say it again, huh? That's the best laugh we've had.
Now it's time for a musical round. I want you to sing a fragment of Grand Opera.
Oh, dear.
What is a snitch?
From a selected... I'm just giving these things to read out. I don't know. I'm going to say it again now.
Around the fragment, yes.
I'm going to say it as it's written and to hell with it. Now it's time for a musical round. I want you to sing a snatch of Grand Opera from a selected passage accompanied by Colin Sell at the piano. Denise and Barry. I want
I'm
you to sing...
I'm coming here with my hemorrhoids.
Well, leave them at home.
Denise and Barry, I want you to sing an extract from an Italian menu, I Eat Her by Lasagna Verdi.
We welcome you to the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden. Covent Coffee, for the gala performance of the old Italian restaurant joke. We've been asked to point out that the Pavarotti is off. The curtain rises on the first course, where two hungry lovers crave antipasti. Valpolicella.
Sacchioni,
scallopina,
grazie prega,
osso bocco,
espresso cappuccino,
insolata mista,
campiana provenzial,
acqua minerale, acqua minerale. Il conto, per favore.
You see what you feel, do you? Furniture's not included, Chucky.
American Express?
Better do nine of them. Bean
moving. Tim and Willie, your turn now, and I want you to sing your snatch from Grand Opera. Is
could I just do a snitch of this one?
Better do a fragment, I think. I can't get no satisfaction.
Sorry to hear that, Hump.
Go on.
I
satisfaction.
No marks for that. That was awful. Now.
That too will be good, sir.
And now, we go on to the next game, which is a new one, and it's Pro-Am Matchbox on Noses. We're going to play Pro-Am Matchbox on Noses, and for this round, we need the participation of two members of the audience. Can we have two volunteers now, the volunteers we picked earlier on? If you could unstrap them from their seats, they can come up on stage and join our team.
Hello.
And your name is?
Beverly.
Beverly, and yours is? Vicky. Beverly on the left with Barry
Ricky.
And...
It's Ricky, Denise. Not Vicky.
Oh, Ricky. And Ricky with Tim and Willie. Now, the aim of this game is for each teacher... The aim of this game is for each team to pass a matchbox from nose to nose without the use of any hands until it ends up where it began. Do you understand that, Beverly? All right?
The very petite nose we've been provided with over here. It's a darling nose. Darling nose.
You didn't specify the number of laps, Tom, initially.
I think it's the first one. It doesn't matter how many laps. The most you can do in the 20 minutes allowed.
If you want to join in at home, I'm on the left. I'll pass it to the right-hand side of the radio.
No Denise, problem. Will you start?
I will.
And pass to Barry. Now, we start now. And at the moment, Tim and Willie and Ricky are leading. Ricky's nose is too small. Flare your nostrils, Ricky. Beverly's on her knee. Beverly's now. Tim's dropped it. Willie's cheated. Thank you very much, Beverly and Ricky, for joining in there. What a lovely state of affairs as we go on to our bedtime story. And for this round, I shall want each team to tell us a bedtime story. And the winners will be the first team to send the audience to sleep. One team member will start the story, and he will then signal our studio manager for a sound effect to enhance the drama. Unfortunately, our technician is wearing headphones, so the sound effect may not be suitable. His partner, however, must then continue the story, working the sound effect that he hears into the narrative. May seem absolute gibberish to you, but you'll understand as we go along, as you have done in every game so far. Tim and Willie, you're going to start now to tell the story of Little Red Riding Hood.
Once upon a time, many, many years ago, there was a little girl whose name I don't know. In fact, she was called Little Red Riding Hood after the nun's habit she had. That's another story entirely.
Never go into a suitcase. Oh, sorry.
She also had this Red Riding Hood. And her mother said, "Go off, Little Red Riding Hood." That was her name by now. "Go off and take these goodies to your grandmother."
What size, grandmother?
About this size.
Ah.
She opened the door and went... She opened the door and went...
On an away day to Granny's.
Well, it transpired to be an away week, as it normally does. Well, we could get there. And she found herself in the forest. Now, lurking behind the tree was a creature that can only be described as a wolf. Noise of wolf lurking.
Its heart was beating fast. In the sheer excitement of the thought of eating up this delicious morsel, he rushed ahead to Granny's house, where he knew Little Red Riding Hood was going. Skippity skip went Little Red Riding Hood, and she also went.
Suffice to say, we'll never know who the father was. However, that over, on she skipped. Arrived at Granny's, unbeknownst to her, Wolf had mugged Granny and had donned Granny's black leather nightgown. As Red Riding Hood leapt in, there was Wolf disguised as Granny sitting in bed. Noise of Granny sitting in bed.
Watching Coronation and playing a mighty organ. Ah, said the wolf. What big eyes you've got. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? That's a red riding hood. So, for purposes of this story, the wolf said, what big eyes you've got for the red riding hood. What big teeth you've got. What big nose you've got for playing the matchbox game. And at that moment, just before the wolf came to eat her, in leapt the woodchopper, which I'd forgotten to mention earlier in the story. And he went...
Bad luck. Otherwise, he could have saved her.
The end. Very good. Very good indeed. No marks, but very good. And we go over to Denise and Barry and ask you to tell the bedtime story of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Jack was at the marketplace one day and bought a cow. Making his way home with the cow along a country lane, he suddenly noticed the cow was going...
Oh, yes, springtime, he said. My favourite time of the year. Suddenly, from behind a hedge, he heard this.
Mother, he said. What are you doing there? Accelerating the story. I've just exchanged this cow for some magic beans. New readers start here. With that, his mother hit him.
My name isn't Ben, he said. It's Jack. It's Jack, your son. Don't you recognize me, mother? No, I don't recognize your father either, she said. You've done a very foolish thing, my dear, she said. You will find out that it will make you go...
But the ointment may help. With this, Jack threw the beans into the ground. They sprang up and an enormous beanstalk grew. Up he vaulted and was confronted with a giant who went...
I must stop eating at the Middlesex University Hospital canteen.
Very nice. Sound charades. Using only the immense versatility of their voices, each team will in turn give us a charade of a play, film, book, or whatever, and the other team will then have to guess what it is or why they bothered to do it. And Holly. It's going to be Denise and Barry who are going to do the charade, first of all. It's going up on the computer now, and for you listening at home, here it is.
Pirates of Penzance. Pirates of Penzance.
Right, Denise and Barry, is it a film or a play or what?
It's a theatrical production. And indeed now a film.
Yes, sir.
A film.
Right.
That is four words.
Right, when you
and
start home.
Sure we'll do it all at once. Well, I think it's robbery.
So do I, but I quite agree.
Looking forward to one of them pasties.
I know.
150th roll.
It's disgusting.
Did they think we were born yesterday?
Made of money, they think.
Wet behind the ears. Look, I will not deal with these people anymore down in this neck of the woods.
Carry on, Tim and Willie.
Splendid game, this is. Have you got an idea?
No.
Okay, we give up.
Pretty brutal stuff.
Yeah.
No, it was sort of Cornish.
Cornish.
Well, there were mention of pasties, be fair.
Expensive pasties.
Gandhi eats a pasty.
Oh, that's what it was in his life, sir. No, nothing to do with
Gandhi. What is an expensive pasty, Willie?
No idea.
37p,
yeah. Yeah.
If someone retailed you an expensive pasty, what might you cry, depending on where you were?
It's on the way.
Yeah, pasty.
Robbery. Robbery, possibly on the high seas.
What? Mutiny on the pasty.
Is that, not Jamaica, it's the other one, isn't it?
What's the other one?
The Bible.
Oh, I'm
sorry. The other one is...
And there's a place name in it.
Oh, there's a place name.
Cornish place name in it.
Is it?
Right.
Yes.
Ah.
Could you give us some help now?
Hello, listeners.
I would explain to those of you listening at home what's going on if I were not confident that you're listening to Radio 1.
We greet World Service listeners who've just joined us.
In the third day of this exciting event.
The results are still coming in.
Oh, it runs. That's far too obvious.
Tim and Willie, will you do a charade now? And it's going up on the computer for our audience here. And here it is for you listening at home.
The French Lieutenant's Woman. The French Lieutenant's Woman.
Okay, Tim and Willie, is it a film or what?
It's
a book and a film.
Book and a film. How many words?
Four.
Officier.
Oui.
Is it? Je t'adore.
Fin.
Well, it's fin with me too.
Better get this right, because Tim and Willie,
the
streets ahead.
The one that spells
it's streets ahead.
Ahead.
I said streets ahead, actually.
Streets ahead. Meryl Street, the French Lieutenant's Woman.
Right. And now we come to the point where I ask the teams for their appropriate entries in the Yellow Pages, and the trade that they chose from the Yellow Pages was horticultural wholesalers.
We didn't choose.
Fourth donors like rhubarb.
I've got Roy Rogers under horse slaughterers.
There you are. Will you welcome Seed Wheel? Oh, Seed Wheelbarrow. Oh, would you welcome, please, those proud... civilized naval men who have just arrived in one piece, the haughty cultural wholesalers.
Oh, and in the Swedish Yellow Pages, there is Leif Mold. And in the Scottish Yellow Pages, Gordon Shears.
Will you welcome from Australia, please? Auntie Gladys. And Auntie Ryan.
With their border, Herb Asius.
Mary Tyler Moore's friend, Rhododendron.
Ivor Shocker Gelding, is it possible?
Oh,
Sorry.
I don't want to gossip, but there's Kate Bush with Peter Woods. Des Oak Connor.
Patrick Moore and his sister, Lorna Moore.
And over there is Trim Brook Baylor, a water gardens emptying specialist.
Benson Hedges, the entry here. Their catchy motto, send for the cops, privets on parade. And shrubbery with violets.
I think the horse slaughters is better, really.
Yes.
At which point, if there's no more contribution from the team...
Well, I think when we're really ahead like this, it's... Let's just stop it, huh?
I'm sorry, I got bogged down in horse slaughtering, but somehow it tickled my fancy.
That's all for this week from all of us. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Denise Coffey, Tim Brooke Taylor, and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The program was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.